Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Barbara Blount was a strong Southern woman enjoying her country life in 2008. She lived alone in a secluded rural home, surrounded by her gardens and her cows. Barbara hadn't always lived alone, however. She spent many years with her husband, Henry, known to everyone as Junior, until his tragic accident in 2004, which left Barbara a widow. But in 2008, Barbara managed to put together a wonderful life for herself as a widow. She stayed busy raising cows on her property and truly enjoyed her very close-knit family, which included two grown children who lived on the same country road as Barbara. Barbara and her family lived in the small town of Holden, Louisiana. She was strong in her faith and she was a longtime Sunday school teacher. Barbara also knew the risks of living alone in a rural area and took all the precautions, including locking her doors and even carrying a gun when she tended to her cows. On May 2, 2008, Barbara visited with her daughter Christy in the morning. Later, around 11:30 a.m., she spoke to a neighbor on the phone. Barbara said she had a day of deep cleaning planned, which mainly was going to be focused on her kitchen. Barbara kept a very tidy home and was known to be very clean and organized, so this was no surprise to anyone. As the afternoon progressed, Christy continued to try and reach her mom on the phone, with no luck. Finally, Brandon, Barbara's nephew, went over to go check on her. He found Barbara's car missing, but her cell phone and her glasses were inside the house. He also found her cordless phone on the ground, underneath the carport, with the batteries lying next to the phone. Something was wrong, and authorities were quickly alerted. There would be a strange sighting of Barbara that day, and her car would soon be found abandoned, but there was no sign of Barbara. Where is Barbara Ann Blount? Hello, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing person story. Barbara's story is truly a baffling story, more baffling than most, actually. Something happened that caused Barbara to vanish, but what? It happened suddenly, with no evidence left behind to indicate where she went or what happened on that average May day in 2008. There also seemed to be no motive for someone to harm Barbara, a kind, loving mother and Sunday school teacher. Barbara has now been missing for over 16 years, and authorities and her family still hope and pray for answers. Let's keep Barbara's story in the media and spread awareness as much as we can. Someone out there very likely knows something. This is Barbara's story. Barbara Blount was 58 years old in May of 2008. She had two adult children, a son, Ricky, and a daughter, Christy. Both of her children lived nearby, and the family remained quite close. So close, in fact, that Barbara made dinner for everyone every evening. Barbara and her husband, Henry, enjoyed the quiet country life in Louisiana. They raised their children together, and Barbara was known to be an excellent housekeeper, gardener, and Sunday school teacher. She was devoted to her faith and her family. But in 2004, something tragic happened that turned the Blount family's lives upside down. Henry Blount, Barbara's husband, was 55 years old in 2004. He was working as a truck driver, specifically hauling gasoline tanker trucks. In June of that year, Henry was driving down the road towards some train tracks. These tracks were marked, they had lights. However, they didn't have the barricades that come up and down to stop traffic when a train was approaching. However, this had never been a problem for Henry before. Henry had crossed these tracks quite often, in fact. However, on this day, something made Henry cross those train tracks, even though the lights had started blinking. A fast-approaching CSX freight train blared its horn, but it was too late. The train collided with Henry's truck, sending it over on its side when it suddenly burst into flames. Flames that were said to go 80 feet high. Remember, Henry was hauling highly flammable gasoline. No one can quite say what prompted Henry to do this. Some thought that maybe it was intentional. Others believed this was just a tragic accident. Sadly, Henry succumbed to his injuries during that crash, as did two train workers aboard the train. The employees of CSX were furious, and they made their thoughts known. They accused Henry, even though he was deceased now, of murdering their coworkers. This was said to many media outlets right after the accident. Henry's family had to pick up the pieces and move on. Barbara struggled at first, of course, but her close-knit bond with her family and with God helped keep her going. She turned her energy into her gardening, into caring for her cows, teaching Sunday school, and cooking dinners for her family. A few years went by, and the Blounts had developed a new normal. The disappearance. The morning of May 2, 2008 was like any other Friday in Barbara's life at this time. She spoke to her daughter, Christy, that morning and mentioned how she was going to spend the day cleaning and that she'd see Christy later that night. Around 11:30 a.m., Barbara spoke to a neighbor on the phone. The conversation was typical again, and Barbara said she was going to spend the day deep cleaning her kitchen. Barbara was known to keep a very clean house, and this was a normal activity for Barbara. As the day progressed, a few people tried to call Barbara at different times, but she never answered. In the afternoon, her daughter, who was growing worried, as was her nephew, decided to run over to Barbara's home and check on her. Barbara lived in a very rural area with no other houses in sight. When her nephew arrived at her house, he noted that Barbara's car was not there. He glanced around the home and he found the back door unlocked and slightly ajar. He noticed the pots and pans stacked up on the floor and the cupboards empty, but this fits with her deep cleaning of the kitchen. He also found her cell phone on the counter along with her glasses, which was odd. Sure, in 2008, Barbara might have left her cell phone behind, but not her eyeglasses. She wore her glasses regularly, so he was quite confused to find those laying there. Outside, under the carport, he found Barbara's cordless home phone on the ground, with the battery out and sitting a few feet away, almost as if it had dropped and the battery had popped out. Now, for those of you too young to remember home cordless phones, that is something that could very easily happen and often did. But there was no sign of Barbara anywhere. The scene of the empty house was ominous. There wasn't exactly a sign of a struggle, just a few strange clues that seemed off to those that knew Barbara. An open back door, which was definitely not like Barbara. Her eyeglasses that were left behind. And the cordless phone on the ground outside. But Barbara's car was missing. Could she have just driven off to go somewhere? Maybe she had dropped the cordless phone outside and didn't realize it. Maybe her back door just didn't latch as she thought it had. But her eyeglasses? Would she go off and drive without them? Did she have a spare pair by chance? It was mystifying, and her family decided something must be wrong. They reported her missing to local authorities, and the search would begin. Barbara Ann Blount had disappeared. The search. Law enforcement came out immediately to take a report. Holden, Louisiana is a small town, just over 6,000 residents, and Barbara was well-known and well-liked. She was an active Sunday school teacher, and church members were concerned. This wasn't like Barbara at all. But initial searches continued to turn up no additional clues as to Barbara's whereabouts. Where did she go and why? Everyone was completely baffled. There was no sign of a break-in, no sign of a robbery. Everything of value was still in the home. In fact, nothing was missing at all except Barbara's car keys and, of course, Barbara. The first clue would come in later that afternoon. A local teenager had been driving down rural route 1036 when he spotted a car pulled into the woods down a hunting road. He thought he recognized the car as Barbara's, someone that he knew, and he stopped to check. The car definitely seemed out of place there, and he wondered if maybe someone had had an accident. The car did indeed look like Barbara's, a 2006 silver four-door Toyota. He found the car keys on the ground a few yards away from the vehicle, but he found no sign of the Sunday school teacher. He called his mother to tell her what he had found, and she in turn phoned the Livingston Parish Sheriff Department. Soon, everyone was putting the clues together that this was Barbara's car, and Barbara was indeed missing. The location of her car was just a quarter mile down the road from her home, and it was pulled about 25 yards down a dirt hunting camp road. No one could think of any reason why Barbara herself would have driven there. Her car also didn't provide any additional clues as to Barbara's whereabouts, and neither did the surrounding wooded area, which was searched. Authorities had utilized ATVs, search dogs, helicopters, search and rescue personnel, and even volunteers, yet nothing was found to indicate where Barbara was or where she may have gone. To make matters worse, later that afternoon and evening, a hard rain hit the area, flooding the woods where Barbara's car was found. This area was known to flood because of poor drainage, and sure enough, this rain flooded Barbara's car. If there was any additional evidence to be found forensically, such as fingerprints, it may have been washed away. As her photo was pushed through social media in attempts to find Barbara in those early days, a woman from Alabama did come forward with another sighting of Barbara. She said that she and her husband were driving to visit family near Holden, Louisiana, that day. They were pulling their camper behind them, and that particular stretch of road was quite curvy, so they were driving pretty slow. As they rounded the area where Barbara's car would later be found, they saw a woman matching Barbara's description standing at the door of a silver pickup truck talking to a young man. They said that she was holding something, which they thought was a pair of glasses, and it looked like she had her car keys in her other hand. It had begun raining, so this made sense to them. You might take your glasses off in the rain to dry them off or even to see better. Barbara saw the young couple too as she turned to them and smiled. It seemed like the man in the truck had just pulled over to maybe talk to Barbara. The couple even described what Barbara was wearing, which was confirmed to be correct by Christy, who had seen her mother earlier that day in those clothes. Authorities thought this was a probable legitimate sighting of Barbara. But it left everyone with more questions than answers. Who was the man in the truck? Why had Barbara driven her car down there? Was she lured down there? And if so, why? Did she indeed have a pair of eyeglasses in her hand, which would mean that maybe she had a second pair of eyeglasses that her family was unaware of? Authorities have come out every few years announcing that they feel they are close to solving this case. However, nothing much has developed as of yet, at least that the public is aware of. A local journalist has also said that it seems every election in the area brings out these same statements, and they just don't put any weight into what they are saying anymore. This is sad if local politicians are using this case to help gain popularity and votes within their local area of Louisiana, but I suppose they wouldn't be the first politicians to take such actions. Holden, Louisiana. We've covered many disappearances in Louisiana in general, This is a southern U.S. state that has a lot of rural areas and a lot of wet, swampy areas. Holden is a small town in Livingston Parish. It's about a 45-minute drive east from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. In 2008, the population was barely over 6,000 residents. The railroad running through the town was a major point in the town being developed in the early 1900s and continued to be a major focal point of Holden, Louisiana. Today, in 2024, Holden is still a pretty small town. There's a Dollar General, of course, a post office, and a small school district. Seems to be a small residential area, but the majority of the outlying areas are rural. Barbara's car was found on a hunting club dirt road just off of Road 1036. 1036 looks to be north of Holden, running mostly north and south. As for water sources, while I'm sure there are tons of wetlands throughout the area, the only labeled water source on the map nearby is East Hog Branch, a creek running parallel to Road 1036. But again, it's a creek. It's not even a river. And it seems the water levels in that area go up and down and vary drastically at different times of the year. The Livingston Parish Sheriff also said that the area is very prone to flooding, specifically where Barbara's car was found. And that's exactly what happened on the day she vanished. Within an hour's time, the area flooded so badly that by the time law enforcement had a tow truck at Barbara's car, there was over an inch of water on the floorboards. They didn't even have a chance to get her car towed back where they could examine it forensically. Holden crime rates do seem to be above average. Here is what crimegrade.org has to say about crime rates in Holden. The D-plus grade means that the rate of violent crime is higher than the average U.S. city. Holden is in the 27th percentile for safety, meaning 73% of cities are safer and 27% of cities are more dangerous. Your chance of being a victim of violent crime in Holden may be as high as 1 in 59 in the western neighborhoods or as low as 1 in 299 in the northeast part of the city. So it does seem that Holden has a higher than average crime rate. Barbara, in particular, lived a little bit north of the city. Theories and possibilities. As in many cases, when we have very, very few clues, almost any theory is a viable one. It's hard to rule anything out. There are five talked about theories in Barbara's case specifically, and I want to start with one that you might not have thought about. Theory number one, Henry's untimely death in 2004. How could Barbara's husband's death be a theory in her disappearance, which would occur 4 years later? Henry's death was a mystery. It was an accident as he crossed a train track with an oncoming train. However, everyone at the oil company that Henry had worked for many, many years actually, said Henry was an exceptional driver and he had 2 decades of a perfect record with the company. But accidents can still happen. It just takes one time, right? But there were rumors. Did Henry possibly do this on purpose? Henry's family said, no way. But the railroad workers weren't so sure, and they were furious because they would lose 2 of their own in the accident as well. The railroad workers were quite vocal about their anger towards Henry, even calling him a murderer during one particular interview. It was ruled an accident, but without Henry here to tell us his side of the story, there may always be questions around what happened that day. And when Barbara disappeared, many people started to wonder if her disappearance was related to Henry's death. Was there more going on behind the scenes? Was Henry involved in something? Or were those railroad workers just that angry and out for revenge? Did someone show up at Barbara's house and lure her out quickly? Perhaps saying there was an accident or something that she needed to get to fast, where she would drop her phone and get in the car, driving away with pretty much nothing and without locking her door? Was their goal to get her away from the home, but Why? Did they want to avoid leaving any evidence at the house? So they lured her away to that wooded area. It does seem a little bit of a long shot to target a sweet older lady whose whole life was dedicated to her kids, her farm, and her church, just to get revenge for a possible accident 4 years earlier. I don't know. I suppose anything here is possible, as I've said, but I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on this possible theory. Theory number two, a friend or a relative caused her harm. I think this theory comes up in a lot of unsolved cases, and rightly so, because we believe that most crimes against someone are usually committed by someone they know. However, when I researched statistics to kind of back up why we feel this way or why we think this, I found this on the FBI website, FBI.gov. 53% of people are victims at the hands of a friend, relative, or acquaintance, or someone they know. And 47% are at the hands of a stranger. Honestly, I really thought the gap would be wider than that. You are more likely to be harmed by someone you know. However, according to these statistics, just barely. I do have trouble with this theory because nothing was missing at the home and it seemed no one had anything to gain at Barbara going missing or worse. Was someone looking to inherit something? Again, there was absolutely zero evidence that there was life insurance or that someone stood to gain financially from her disappearance. Also, because Barbara went missing, if someone had wanted to inherit money or property, they would have had to wait until she was declared legally deceased before doing so. This is a process that could take years. We've seen familial murders happen for this reason, but a disappearance certainly doesn't give anyone anything to gain, at least not immediately. Again, there has been no evidence leading law enforcement to believe that a family member or a friend was behind her disappearance. Theory number three, the witnesses from Alabama. The last people to see Barbara was that couple driving their camper to Holden. They saw Barbara in her vehicle, where it would later be found, and said she was talking to someone in a pickup truck. But no one else saw that truck that day, leaving many to start wondering about the credibility of these witnesses. Their description of Barbara was spot on, down to the clothing she was wearing and the location they saw her at. But what would their motive be to do something to Barbara? And if they just encountered her on the road, as they said, then what made Barbara drive her car there to begin with? I do see why people are leery of this couple, and honestly, they were my first thought as well. But the more evidence we have uncovered, I just don't see any reason for them to harm or take Barbara. Perhaps they did go to Barbara's house and they're the ones that brought her out of her house. This is another theory discussed online as well. But again, why? There was no robbery motive. And if there was an accident that they were trying to hide, how did Barbara's car get where it was? And why did she leave her house open and her phone on the ground? I don't know about this theory either. There's just nothing that really points this way, in my opinion, except for them being the last to see Barbara on that day. Theory number four, a medical emergency. This theory is interesting to me. Barbara was 58 years old. She was in good health as far as we know, and she was quite a strong woman. This is the woman who took care of her property by herself, even hauling heavy buckets of cattle feed daily to feed her cows. She was in the middle of deep cleaning her kitchen when she suddenly vanished. Did something happen, medically speaking, to cause her to wander away from her home? Specifically, even getting into her car and driving that quarter of a mile, was she disoriented? Was she lost? Was she confused? Maybe there was a pickup truck and they had just stopped to offer help to Barbara. If that's the case, however, how come the driver of that truck hasn't come forward? It's a small town. If it was someone local, they certainly would have heard of Barbara's disappearance when it happened. Or did the pickup truck happen upon her and take advantage of her disoriented state in one way or another, maybe taking her away from the area? There wasn't any sign of a fall or an accident at the home. except perhaps that fallen cordless phone sitting in the carport. The home looked as if it should have, with pots and pans neatly stacked on the floor, as she was most likely in the middle of cleaning her cupboards when she suddenly left the home. We have covered cases of a few younger women with dissociative fugue, a sudden memory loss that occurs in the brain with absolutely no warning. Hannah Up is a young woman who vanished 3 times before disappearing the last time from the U.S. Virgin Islands in 2017. There's also the story of Amber Gerweck, a young woman who vanished from her apartment in the middle of studying. She was spotted in Georgia, and then she would ultimately be found alive and well in Illinois with no memory of how she traveled to all the places that she had. Could something like this have befallen Barbara? She could have wandered away, and she could be somewhere else, completely unaware of who she is. Or possibly even had fallen victim to an accident and has just remained unfound. Dissociative fugue is pretty rare, but it has happened. It's also a disorder that continues to mystify doctors, so it's hard to say whether Barbara would fit the profile of a dissociative fugue patient. We just don't know that much about it. Theory number 5, a serial killer. Could a serial killer have been passing through the area? Someone with a notion to kill, harm, or kidnap someone for no reason at all. Someone who doesn't need a motive. This theory is talked about online sometimes in Barbara's case as well, because not only is it possible, it's the only theory that is completely random, and Barbara's case seems to be very random. Since no one can find a motive to harm Barbara, a random attack is the only one that might make sense. But again, there's no evidence pointing to any theory at this point, at least per what investigators have shared with the public. I don't share theories with you to raise speculation or encourage rumors, but knowing what directions to look in can be important to the public when searching for missing persons. I am curious, what are your thoughts on the disappearance of Barbara Ann Blount? Barbara is described as a Caucasian female standing 5 foot 5 inches tall and weighing around 150 pounds when she was last seen in May of 2008. Barbara was 58 years old then and would today be 74. She has short, graying brown hair and hazel eyes. She was last seen wearing a tank top, pinstriped shorts, and purple Crocs. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of Barbara Ann Blount is asked to contact the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office at 225-938-4323. Thank you so much for listening to Barbara's story today. Her case really stands out as so baffling to me, and the fact that she was so close to her family and friends in Holden, Louisiana, is absolutely heartbreaking. They have waited far too long for answers, and although I'm not sure what to think in the case as to where Barbara went or why, I am almost certain that someone out there does know something. Let's keep the pressure on Barbara's case and bring her home. If you have any feedback or case suggestions for me, you can send them over via the socials. All of those links will be in the show notes, or you can email me anytime at canwefindthem@gmail.com. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by leaving a 5-star review on your podcast platform. The reviews do help these episodes get pushed out to more people, and since missing person cases need all the exposure they can get, this does help tremendously. You can also support the show by becoming a paid subscriber for bonus episodes and or joining us over on Patreon, where you can find every episode ad-free, as well as access our bonus episodes. Links will also be in the show notes. We do our best to make donations to every family that has a GoFundMe set up, and if not, donate to a missing person charity that has helped in the cases we cover. If you have a charity that you would like to suggest to us, send that over to me via email at canwefindthem@gmail.com and put charity in the subject line. If you are looking for any past episodes, you can find all of them, along with our On This Day blog, over at wherearethepodcast.com. Thank you again for supporting our show, and mostly for listening to Barbara's story today. I truly hope we are close to answers in Barbara's case. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.